إن الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده نحمد الله ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وما خلقت الجن والإنس إلا ليعبدون وقال تعالى في موضع آخر ولقد أوحي إليك وإلى الذين من قبلك لئن أشركت ليحبطن عملك ولتكونن من الخاسرين صدق الله العظيم وبلغنا رسول الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله والحمد لله رب العالمين. Respected elders, dear brothers in Islam, once again we thank and praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rabbul Alameen, the Lord, the Cherisher, the Sustainer, and the Upkeeper of the entire universe, both the heavens and the earth and whatever is in between. The one who is Al-Hayy and Al-Qayyum, the one that is ever living, the one who is self-existing, self-subsisting. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not in need of any resources, of any material means in order to exist. While every single thing besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in creation, in existence, requires the support of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the form of oxygen, in the form of air, in the form of food, in the form of rest, etc., etc. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Qayyum, the one that is self-subsisting, self-existing, not in need of anything, while the rest of creation, everything else in existence, which is creation, not creator, is dependent on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's support. Without Allah's support, nothing will exist. This is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we come together for 5 times a day, and we congregate on the day of Jumu'ah. It is this Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to which we focus our attention and our ibadah. Today's topic, with the tawfiq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we will discuss. It is concerning ibadah. It is a term that many of us are quite acquainted with, which we have used and heard being used quite often. But to get a more comprehensive understanding of the term ibadah, how it applies to us in every facet of our life. So this is a topic which we will be discussing. The very first ayat which we will discuss, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, this is in Surah Al-Dhariyat, ayat number 56. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَأَعْدَ أُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying that I have not created the jinn kind and the mankind, illa, except for one purpose, for one reason. Nothing else but for this one reason, illa liya'budun, ay liya'buduni, in order that they may worship me. This liya'buduni, in order that they may worship me, is where the whole discussion and the tafsir will center on. In the tafsir it explains, ya'ni, that li'ibadati wa tawheedi, لا لطلب الدنيا والانهماك بها. Explaining in the tafsir, in fact it is found in Safwat al-Tafasir, that what is meant by إلا ليعبدوني, except to worship me. It means that I have not created jinn kind and mankind except for this one purpose, only for this one purpose, solely for this one purpose, and that is لعبادتي وتوحيدي, for my worship and for believing in me and professing in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the basic explanation. Furthermore, adding further to this, لا لطلب الدنيا والانهماك بها, not for the purpose of, you know, chasing after the world and being totally engrossed in it. Again, we are not denying the fact that we have to earn our livelihood and fulfill our needs. But what is being said here, not that we become totally engrossed and totally committed to chasing after the wealth of this world, that we forget the main objective and the main purpose of our life. So this is the basic explanation. Further on, Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, who many of us may be aware, is the Ra'isul Mufassirin, the chief of the commentators of the Quran. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam made dua for him that Allah ta'ala must teach him the knowledge of the Quran. So he's regarded as the chief of the commentators, one of the most authoritative commentators on the Quran. So he explains, إِلَّا لِيُقِرُّ عَلَى الْعِبَادَةَ طَوْعًا أَوْ كَرْهًا. Explaining this point, إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونِي, he says, إِلَّا لِيُقِرُّ لِي الْعِبَادَةَ طَوْعًا وَكَرْهًا, except that they may establish for me the worship. The purpose and the objective of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creating you and me is that we may establish the worship only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. طَوْعًا أَوْ كَرْهًا, willingly or unwillingly, whether we like it or we don't like it. It's not something that we may go according to our desire, that whether we feel like it or we don't feel like it. No. Taw'an aw karhan, willingly or unwillingly, this is the objective that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us for, and as such, being the slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have to fulfill this objective of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He has created us for. The purpose that which He has created us for, we have to fulfill it. This is the tafsir of Abdullah ibn Abbas regarding this ayat, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونِي. No one has any option to go against that, because Allah is the Maliki Yawmi Deen. He is the owner of the Day of Judgment. He is the owner of creation. Now the basis for this ibadah to be accepted, this is before we go further, we have to discuss this point. The basis for any good deeds to be accepted, the fundamental foundation for any good deeds to be accepted is Al-Aqidatu Sahihah, is the correct beliefs which is substantiated from the Quran and Sunnah. Any belief, if a person holds any belief which is not supported, not substantiated from the Quran or the Sunnah, then that belief, if it is a major belief, then unfortunately it can impact on his faith and his iman. It could result in his good deeds being nullified and not being accepted. So it is very important that any belief that we hold regarding our deen, we must verify whether this belief is in keeping with the Quran and Sunnah. If it is not in keeping with the Quran and Sunnah, we have to make sure, we have to check it up. If it is a major belief which is wrongly held, then as I said, it could nullify our good deeds. No matter how great our good deeds may be, no matter how pious outwardly a person may look, if it goes against the Quran and Sunnah, that person's iman is at stake. This is very, very important. So, what is the basis for the acceptance of ibadah? It is to have the correct belief. And the correct belief, most importantly, consists of two main things. تَتَضَمَّنُ تَوْحِيدَ اللَّهِ وَاجْتِنَابِ إِشْرَاقِ بِاللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. It consists of, firstly, to profess and to believe in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He is free from any partners whatsoever, whether it be in His being, whether it be in His qualities, whether it be in His names, whether it be in His actions, whether it be in His laws. There's a five different aspects of Tawheed. We have to learn these things. فِي ذَاتِهِ وَصِفَاتِهِ وَأَسْمَائِهِ وَأَحْكَامِهِ وَأَفْعَالِهِ. Five different aspects of Tawheed, which we have to profess the unity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in. And these things require time, it requires detail. But in brief, we are mentioning this. So the first part is to profess the unity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the second part of belief is to istinab al-ishraq, to abstain from ascribing partners with Allah ta'ala in whatsoever way. Even ishraq and shirk, there are different types of shirk that a person can commit. Even to ascribe the authority of legislating and bringing about laws in the land. If we ascribe that authority to any other creation besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is called ishraq fil hukm, to ascribe, to make shirk with Allah ta'ala in regards to legislation and law. It's also a form of shirk, like we have in our country here, that the parliament legislates law and Muslims accept it. Then if we accept the abortion bill, if we accept the prostitution bill, we have made shirk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as far as law is concerned. Only He can introduce that law, and He has made it haram. So this is a very serious form of shirk also. So the basis for ibadah to be accepted is the correct belief And the correct belief consists of two main things: to profess the unity and the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and second, to abstain from any form of shirk. This itself requires some detail, but we don't want to elaborate at this point in time. So understanding this, all other beliefs attached to Islam is connected and related to this central belief, professing the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and abstaining from shirk. So on this basis, our good deeds are either accepted or rejected. We have to ensure that our beliefs are firstly in keeping. We will find throughout the Quran Sharif, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes reference to this point. Alladhina amanu wa amilu salihat. Alladhina amanu wa amilu salihat. Throughout the Quran Sharif, those who have faith and who practice righteous deeds. So Allah ta'ala first mentions faith throughout. In other words, correct faith, correct iman, which is in keeping with the teachings of the Quran and Sunnah. This is a very, very important fundamental point that we have to understand. Now going on further, on this point of correct aqidah, we find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes reference to this point also. Imagine in Surah Az-Zumar, ayat number 65. Surah Az-Zumar, ayat number 65. Brothers, please take the trouble. Let us now become more attached and connected to the Quran Sharif. This is Allah Ta'ala's love letter to us. Let us read it with some, you know, pondering, some understanding. In Surah Az-Zumar, ayat number 65, let us just choose this one ayat. When we go home this evening, let us read this one ayat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says here, وَلَقَدْ أُوحِيَ إِلَيْكَ وَإِلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكَ لَإِنْ أَشْرَكْتَ لَيَحْبَطَنَّ عَمَلُكَ وَلَتَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. Allah Ta'ala is using the word وَلَقَدْ. This lam here is for qasam. Allah is taking an oath here to emphasize the seriousness of this message. وَلَقَدْ أُوحِيَ إِلَيْكَ. By Allah, by the qasam of Allah, most definitely we have revealed to you. وَلَقَدْ أُوحِيَ إِلَيْكَ O Muhammad. Indeed, by Allah, we have revealed to you, O Muhammad, وَإِلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكَ, and to those before you, meaning to the Anbiya alayhimu salam before you. What have we revealed? لَإِنْ أَشْرَكْتَ. Hypothetically speaking, تَقْدِيرًا, فَرْضًا, if for example you had to ascribe partners to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah ta'ala is addressing His beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Not that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will ever think of making shirk, because it is in his nature. He is a muwahid. But Allah Ta'ala is showing the Ummah a lesson. Even you, O Muhammad, in spite of your lofty status, you are the best of creation. And even the Anbiya alayhimus salam, who are the best of creation after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even if the Anbiya alayhimus salam, لَإِنْ أَشْرَكْتَ لَيَحْبَطَنَّ عَمَلُكَ وَلَتَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. Even if you had to commit shirk, O Prophet of Allah, and the Anbiya alayhimus salam before you, most definitely, of a certainty, great emphasis is laid here, لَيَحْبَطَنَّ عَمُلُكَ. Your good deeds would have been wiped out. وَلَتَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. And certainly, you would be from the losers. So this is Surah Az-Zumar, ayat number 65. What is the message Allah Ta'ala is telling us? In spite of a person's lofty status, in spite of his position, as far as, you know, his righteous deeds are concerned, he may be going for Hajj and Umrah every year. He may be giving thousands in sadaqat. He may be making jihad, he may be making da'wah. But if he's got a major belief which is against the Quran and Sunnah, if he has committed shirk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, major shirk, then Allah ta'ala is giving a clear message that your good deeds will be wiped out and you will be from the losers. This is a branch of deen, a complete subject that is to be discussed and to be learnt. The belief structure of Islam, very, very important. So this is the message Allah ta'ala is giving us. And further Allah ta'ala says, بَلِ اللَّهَ فَعْبُدْ وَكُمْ مِنَ الشَّاكِرِينَ. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala you should worship alone and be from the grateful ones. So this emphasis on tawheed and believing in the oneness of Allah ta'ala comes first before ibadah. Now coming to ibadah, understanding this point of ibadah so that we get the comprehensive picture the way the Sharia looks at ibadah. قَالَ شَيْخُ الْإِسْلَامِ Ibn Taymiyyah. Ibn Taymiyyah rahimullah, he's giving the definition and explanation of what is ibadah. He says, al-ibadatu ta'atullah bimtithali ma amara Allah bihi ala al-sinati rusul. Ibadat is actually the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by implementing and carrying out whatever Allah has commanded on the tongues of the anbiya. Whatever the anbiya alayhi salam have come by means of revelation, by means of wahi, by means of their teachings. So if we implement that, then that is actually carrying out the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, obeying the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that is actually ibadah. So if you see this definition, it means, comprehensively speaking, every action which is in conformity and in keeping with the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that this is termed as ibadah. Not as sometimes we have an understanding that ibadah is only that which is done in the masjid. No, brothers. وَقَالَ أَيْضًا, and further on he's given another explanation. الْعِبَادَةُ إِسْمٌ جَامِعٌ لِكُلِّ مَا يُحِبُّ اللَّهُ وَيَرْضَاهُ مِنَ الْأَقْوَالِ وَالْأَعْمَالِ الظَّاهِرَةِ وَالْبَاطِنَةِ. Ibadat is a comprehensive term for everything which Allah Ta'ala loves and is pleased with, from the external actions and speech and the internal conditions. Spiritual internal conditions and the external actions and speech, if it is done in a manner which is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then that is ibadat. So if we conduct our business in the way that is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is also ibadat. Any other matter for that matter, whether it be to do with our family life, our business life, our political life, our social life, any field it may be, if it is done within this framework of this definition, then this will be termed ibadah. There will be reward for it, provided of course we make that intention to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So ibadah from this is not confined to what we understand is only at the masjid that we are pious, and once we come outside we change our clothing and we wear another outfit. No, brothers, we are 24 hours in the ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. Further on, Imam Qurtubi also explains. He says, "Al-aslu al-ibada." What is the essence of ibadah? What is the root meaning of ibadah? At-tazallul wal-khudu. It means submission. To submit to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we submit to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then that is ibadah. Going further, Allama Ibn Kathir rahimahullah, he explains, "Ibadatuhu yata'atuhu bi-fi'l al-ma'mur wa tark al-mahzur." So he explains that ibadah is actually the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by carrying out the commandment of Allah and His Messenger and by abstaining from the prohibitions which has been prohibited by Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَذَلِكَ هُوَ حَقِيقَةُ دِينِ الْإِسْلَامِ. And that is the reality of Islam. When we speak of Islam, the word Islam, we apply the labels and the terms everywhere we see. Islamic program, Islamic organization. The name and the label is there. But what is the reality of this term? What is behind this label of Islam? The reality behind that label is actually to submit and actually to carry out whatever Allah has commanded and whatever is prohibited. This is the essence of Islam, to submit to the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to abstain from those things which is prohibited. Because he says the essential meaning of Islam itself is al-istislam, to submit and to give in to what Allah ta'ala demands from us. And Imam Mujahid, a great tabi, a great scholar of tafsir also, he explains this ayat, إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونِي, except that they may worship me, in this manner. He says, إِلَّا لِأَمُرَهُمْ وَأَنْهَمْ, except that I command them. I have not created jinnkind and mankind, except that I command them and I prohibit them. So in other words, this is the essential quality of abd. The abd, what the abd means, is to be a slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If a person is a slave, he does what he is commanded. Now you take the opposite of that, shaitan. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, that usjudu li Adam, prostrate to Adam. So this was a command. And what did shaitan say? He says that you have created me from fire. And you've created shaitan, you've created Adam alayhi salam from clay. Khalaqtani min nyari wa khalaqtahu min teen. You created me from fire and you created him from clay. Ana khayru min, I'm better than him. So he rebelled. He used his logic and he went against the commandment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala did not tell you, u'budu Adam, worship Adam. He said, usjudu li Adam, prostrate to Adam, because the lesson in this is submit to the command of Allah. Alla's command was prostrate to Adam alayhi salam. So the essential point that is being brought out here, that submission that we must have in us, the spirit of obedience and submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is the real meaning of ibadat. And now we apply that in our terms, in our life. If you understand what has been discussed now in this last few moments, what is the essential meaning of ibadat? From this we come to understand that at any point in time, what is the need of the hour which will please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which will fulfill the requirements of deen, that is ibadat. Let's go back again to this point. The need of the hour, what is the requirement of the deen at any specific moment in time, and a person makes a concerted effort to fulfill that need of the hour, that is ibadat. For example, we may have a gathering of people busy making tilawat of Quran. A very great act of ibadat. But the iqamah goes off for salah, salatul asr or salatul maghrib, and the group continues reciting Quran and ignoring the iqamatul salah. Will that be termed ibadah, sitting in the back and reading, reciting Quran? No, it will not be. Then it is going against the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or for example, a person says, Fajr is a very easy time to perform more than two rakats. Why must you make two rakats of fard salah? Then let's perform four rakats fard of Fajr with the imam. So we go against what is the commandment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In this manner, we can find many examples explain that the need of the hour, if we fulfill that in fulfilling the need of Islam and pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then that will be ibadat. So if we take our circumstances around us, we may feel very proud and happy that alhamdulillah we can go in big groups for Umrah year after year. But tell me, brothers, honestly speaking, in our hearts of hearts, we're not saying don't go for Umrah 2-3 times or go for Hajj 2-3 times. We're not saying that. We're not denying that, because Allah Ta'ala Himself has said that you have made this place mathabatan linnas, a place of often returning. It is a human, it is a natural love of a Muslim and a believer to go back to the Baytullah that is there. But if we're going repeatedly, year in and year out, with, you know, whole troops of people going, the question is, what is the need of the time? If next door my own brother, or my own nephew, or my own cousin, or my own neighbor for that matter, he is in such a dire strait, and I have not even taken notice of him. Or I just make salam to him, how are you, everything okay, and carry on. I don't bother to investigate, because he is too shy to tell me that my problem is such and such. So the need of the hour, that will be ibadat if I fulfill his need, rather than just going the 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th time and thinking I'm doing something very wonderful, but I have not fulfilled the basic needs of my neighborhood, of my family. The haq of the relatives, the haq of the neighbors is so great upon us. And we know of many cases like this. A person is in difficulties. We know many brothers. The situation is such. Financially, many people are getting into trouble with their businesses. What we should be doing? As a community, we should be getting together, because we are looking at the future of Islam. We're not looking at our own, you know, backyard. We're looking at the whole of deen in this particular area, in this country, that if all the Muslims have to go into difficulties, what will be the circumstances? Another matter, Muslim schools, or schools in general, our youth are being targeted by drug dealers. Are we doing anything about it? That is the need of the hour. That is the need of the hour. If we rise to that occasion to save our youth, so that they may remain in the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will that not be a great act of ibadat? Will that not be the need of the hour? Another example, if the whole Muslim community only goes on da'wah, it's also a part of Islam, a very important part of Islam, but the need of the hour happens to be jihad, will that be ibadat? What would Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala love from us? What will He be pleased with us at that time? He will want jihad from us. On the other hand, if there's absolute peace, but the Muslims are all going astray, they're all going into shirk and bidah, etc., etc., the need of the hour is not jihad, the need of the hour is da'wah and tabligh. And then we go in and make preparation for jihad. Will that be ibadat? So the point is this. The correct thing at the right time, the correct thing at the correct time, in the proper manner, according to the correct etiquettes, all these things have to be taken into consideration to see the need of the hour, fulfill the need of the hour. That will be pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That will be ibadat. So these are things which we have to consider very, very seriously in the circumstances we find ourselves in, that Muslims are in difficulties, even in our own country today. We should look around us, we should think deeply, and we should learn to make shura and consult with one another, make a consultation on these issues. The masjid should become the center. It is become a center for ibadat. But we should take it one step further than that. Let us do a survey. All those Muslims that perform salaya, do we have a census or a database on all these Muslims? If we have such a base, and we have the masjid functioning this way, any Muslim is in difficulty, his children is not getting proper Islamic education, or education in general, or in a particular home there's some problem, that person can come to the masjid, consult the people of the shura, bring the matter up. The community in various ways is connected to the shura. These problems can be addressed in a systematic manner. No person in this particular masjid or community living around there should be in a position where he has to go to the kuffar, or he has to land up in some Christian home. There's no need for that, brothers. Point I'm making, the need of the hour is for the Muslim to become organized and see to the needs of the community in an organized manner. We are too much for ourselves, unfortunately, and this is why the lonely sheep is getting eaten up by the wolf. And we know what is happening around us. Throughout this country, Muslim economy is going down, Muslim organizations, institutions are suffering, they don't know where to turn to, they are in difficulties, but we're not planning. We're complaining, but we're not planning. Who are we waiting for? Somebody else to do our work? Nobody's going to do our work, brothers. But everybody's passing the buck on. Somebody else, we're hoping somebody else will do it. Nobody's going to do it. We have to start with ourselves. We have to take the initiative. We have to make fikr and concern. How do we do this? How do we do that? Alhamdulillah, for example, the problem of security. We know many Muslim areas have been targeted. What has Tanga done? What has Palak done? Let us take examples from them. Let us call into our area and say, right, show us what you have done. We can also add to that. We can start in this way, encouraging each other. But some constructive thing can be done. But we are passive onlookers. We see the problem. We go deeper and deeper. It'll be too late when the Christians come and knock on your door and say, brother, I heard you got so much problems. Yeah. Now that person now is tempted now. He's giving him the opportunity to part with his iman. Don't let us wait for that time, brothers. I'm speaking all these points very, very quickly, but the thing should come into our mind. What are we doing? Shouldn't we be planning ourselves? We have a vibrant community. We can do many things if we work together and be united. But we find that the kuffar, they are, in spite of their misguidance, they are more easily able to unite than the Muslims, who have the greatest basis to be united, and that is the Quran and the Sunnah. So why shouldn't we be united? We are so mistrustful of each other because we are not able to deal straight and upfront with people. We are always ducking and diving. When it comes to business, we've got the worst reputation. So it's time to get our act together, brothers. Let us make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He guides you and me, grants us the tawfiq and hidayah to be sincerely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to work for the benefit of the ummah and to hold the banner of Islam and tawheed high up so that the rest of the ummah and the rest of humanity may benefit also. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَا أَلِلْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ